B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady stands to our right. Three receivers right, one left. James White to the quarterback's left. And the Patriots turn the table on the Dolphins from last year. Shotgun set to Brady. He pumps right short. He throws it to Edelman. Makes the catch at the 47. He's hit and throws it back toward Brady. Picks it up off the turf. And then laterals it to James White, who tosses it back to Joe Tooney, who then shovels it back with his left hand to Brady. Picks it up off the turf and scoops it to Benjamin Watson back at the 38-yard line. He throws it to Edelman, who launches a pass off the hand of Brady. Caught by Tooney, who flips it back to Mohamed Sanu, who's wrapped up at the 35. He got it off to James White, who runs across the 35. The ball is loose. The Dolphins recover, and Miami spills off its sideline. A spoiler today.
What a win.
With one of the great upsets.
What an amazing
win. Recent NFL memory. Miami.
Well, that sucked. That totally sucked. Welcome into our Town Fair Tire Studios. It is Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz today.
Yay.
Patriots made Murray violently ill, so you get me, Matt McCarthy, alongside Greg Bedard, Paul Perillo. Got Mike O'Brien on Sports of Headlines. So, yeah, if the last 24 hours haven't sucked enough, Boston, sorry, you get me. Billy Lanny, Kevin Maggiore behind the glass, 617-779-0985. Billy and Kevin, you can release the hounds because I want to hear from the people early and I want to hear from the people often today after one of the worst losses of the last 20 years, bar none. Particularly when you're talking about the regular season, it might be the worst. So let's just start here. Greg, Paul, either one of you can do this. We'll do our opening thoughts and then we'll get to the people. What'd you make of that? What did you make of that mess yesterday?
But just so you know, Greg, he's mad.
Not happy.
He's really mad. Okay.
He's really angry. He's angry.
He's an angry elf.
He is, South Pole. What I would say is you said it may be the worst. I think it is. I think it's the worst regular season loss in the Brady Belichick era. They've had some other really curious defeats along the way. You know, losses to teams that you just never would envision the Patriots losing to, but none with the kind of ramifications that this one had at home. I'm at a loss to try to figure out how it happened. I listened to them all week, and I bought it, of how serious they were taking this game. When Bill Belichick is calling it a playoff game, they had to know that Miami was going to do the same thing and come with intensity, and you were going to have to put them away if you wanted to beat them. They weren't going to just roll over for you. I think the Patriots played hard. I just think they didn't play well. And that, to me, is really curious, and I think we all sort of fell into it after the Saturday night game against Buffalo, thinking that things were, you know, on the way back, and now you're sort of back to square one.
Greg, what do you take away from that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be completely honest. I spent absolutely 0.0 time looking at possible wild card weekend matchups. It wasn't even on my radar.
I'll do you one better, Greg. I spent time looking at the worst possible wild card matchups for Kansas City. And by the way, Tennessee was the pick.
Exactly. Yes. And the thing was, I spent like a week saying like, oh, well, this is really great news that the Steelers lost. Now the Titans get to go to the Kansas City, who they've already beaten. This is great news for the Patriots because they could knock off Kansas City. Then you get Buffalo or Houston, which is a much better divisional matchup.
Absolutely.
And what happened? The Patriots crapped themselves.
This is what I get. I never do stuff like that. This is what I get.
Patriots crapped themselves at home with a bye on the line, and now they're the sucker. Now they have Tennessee coming in and could get upset in the first round. It makes it easier for Kansas City and everybody else. So I was completely stunned. You know, I will say, looking back, watching the TV copy back last night and this morning, a couple different things. Number one, I thought the offense was much better outside of Brady's pick six. Obviously, that's not great. But I felt better about the offense. I thought the offense did plenty to win the game. Four real drives in a game against the Dolphins, that should be plenty. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but the defense, three times the Patriots offense drove down, got points to either tie the game or take the lead. And the Patriots defense, the one Belichick's pride and joy, the one that he kept every single person on this roster instead of giving help to the offense, couldn't stop Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins at all in the second half. 17 points they allowed to the Dolphins. That translates to 34 points in the game. That should not remotely happen on this team. The plan was, Belichick knew the offense wasn't going to be great. They just need to do enough.
Right.
It's going to be my defense. It's going to be all these guys, the boogeymen, defensive player of the year, all these guys. And what happened when the season was on the line? They choked. They choked it away.
I'm honestly stunned by what I watched yesterday. I mean, I am blown away. I am shocked. But more than that, I'm infuriated by that as a Patriots fan.
Told you.
You've got to be effing kidding me with that game yesterday. That was as bad as it gets. That was as bad as it's gotten over the course of the last 20 years. Because you can put that on the short list for the worst loss of the last 20 years. As far as regular season losses go, with the ramifications in that game, that probably is the worst. That was completely inexcusable from the New England Patriots yesterday. They blew it, plain and simple. They blew it this season. They blew it yesterday. This season has turned into an abject collapse. That was shameful. That was a disgraceful showing from a team that, frankly, to me, Paul, and this is where I'll disagree, they just didn't seem to give a crap. Because if you looked at both those teams yesterday, ask yourself which team looked like it was playing for something, team was playing for nothing. Because Dolphins looked like they had something to play for yesterday, and the Patriots didn't. That is inexcusable. It is unacceptable. I cannot believe that I just watched Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots go out there and turn in a performance the way that they did yesterday. I mean, you know, we talk about this being the Patriots. That's not the Patriots. That's a bunch of imposters out there. That's not the New England Patriots. That's not the team that I have been accustomed to seeing over the course of the last 20 years. Way to completely sink your season in a meaningless, what should have been a meaningless game against a 4-win team in Week 17. You ass clowns. That was awful yesterday from the Patriots. Awful.
Now, I will say, I feel you. I just said they choked it away. The other thought I had from watching the film is that I actually don't feel terrible about this team's prospects right now. And I'll tell you why. Number one, the offense has been better. They really have. There were times when they turn into the grenade offense again, where it's penalty here, blown block here, that stuff. They're going to have those moments. And certainly Brady has some physical issues that are going on. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But the offense is getting there. They're doing enough. And hopefully the defense takes this as a wake-up call, is insulted, is embarrassed, and comes out on Saturday night at home with the season on the line and plays like they're capable of playing. Like we all believe that Belichick's believed this whole year, the whole offseason. If they go out there and play the way they're capable of playing and allow only 10, 17 points, whatever, keep them under 20, the Patriots win. And then all of a sudden, everything changes.
Yeah, see, I'm halfway with Greg. I actually do think that the offense is showing some progress, and I think there have been signs. I think they've run the ball a little bit better the last, say, 3 or 4 weeks or so. And I think, you know, they're starting to make some plays in the screen game. I think, you know, you've seen those a little bit more often. And I think Rex Burkhead gives them a little bit of a burst out of the backfield that we hadn't really seen. So there are some things. And in 2 weeks in a row, they had we have to have it here drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's a tie game. The game's on the line. You know, in this case yesterday, they were losing. They had to drive, and they did it. And they scored a touchdown both times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say that, you know, this is up there with, you know, marching the length of the field against Seattle.
Sure.
You know,
right. Yeah, twice.
Okay, it's the Miami Dolphins, and we all know how bad they are, and we all know, you know, the 80-some-odd players they've had on their roster, okay? But I agree with Greg. I think they've shown some I'm not sure I agree with you on the defense.
I know where you're going with this.
I'm not sure that they are
capable. If they have it left.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know where the gas tank is. But if there's any group that can put it together, that can say, we're not going out like this, because this is probably going to be the last run for a lot of these guys. Devin McCourty could be retired or out the door. Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton. They have a ton of free agents. This is the last go-around for these guys. And I put nothing past their professionalism and love of playing with each other, that they can say, you know what, we're leaving it out all out on the field, and we're going to dominate this postseason run. I don't rule that out. Does it look like it right now? No. They look like a bunch of heavyweight boxers who are on their last legs and are waiting to be punched out.
I rule it out. I 100% rule it out.
He's so angry.
No, but here, well, you should be angry about yesterday. That was the season. All right, you talked
Didn't
about
you
with
hear
the season
call in the previous show. It's just football.
It is just football. But we can get upset we can get very upset about football the way that that game went down yesterday. And to your point, Greg, you know, does the defense go out there with the season on the line and make a stand? I felt that the season was on the line yesterday on that final drive from Ryan Fitzpatrick. We know the importance of the bye for this team. We know the importance of avoiding the wild card round, yep, of, you know, not going to Kansas City, having the Chiefs come here, and you had one drive to stop Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick, and they were not capable of doing it. Not only were they not capable, they got gashed, Paul. They got gashed.
And I'm going to do the same thing I just did with the offense about the defense. And this is why I have some trepidation about exactly what it is they are. I think they're a very good defense. I'm not suggesting that this is a terrible defense and whatever, like some people have. But the same situation that we talked about for the offense, the defense has faced the last 2 weeks. Buffalo went all the way down the field and got to the 8-yard line too.
Right.
Okay? The difference between yesterday and last Saturday was Josh Allen hasn't been able to, you know, see enough of those zero blitzes, and he got sacked on one of them. And that pushed them back, and it forced them into an unenviable position that ultimately the Bills couldn't overcome. Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Greg and I just talked about this off the air, he made some ballsy throws with guys right in his face.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, you know, is aggressive. I saw a lot of that zero blitz stuff yesterday, like we've seen all season long. I didn't see taking the foot off the gas or any kind of thing. Their best player got beat by John Brown 2 weeks ago for a touchdown. Now, obviously, he got beat a lot more often by Devontae Parker, but Devontae Parker's a better player, yep, than John Brown. To me, there are some signs that there are some cracks in that defense. I don't think it's a bad defense. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just not sure it's the unit that people think it is based on the first 8 games.
They're built to win on the defensive side of the ball.
And I don't know if they're good enough to do that.
And that's a fair question. After what we've seen in the second half of this season, and particularly yesterday when it felt like everything was on the line and that defense couldn't make a stop, you should be worried about that, Patriots fans. And yes, you have every right to be pissed off like you wouldn't believe today. 617-779-0985. We're off and running here on Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz, no Murray. So you get me, Matt McCarthy. Sorry. The big boy, Greg Bedard, is in. Paul Perillo alongside. We'll get to your thoughts on the defense and everything Patriots next.
Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In motion wide to left. Jonathan Jones tries to keep up with him. Gesicki to the right. Fitzpatrick takes the snap. He's looking to the middle. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Gesicki.
What a try.
Touchdown, Miami. 24 seconds to go. And the Dolphins have taken the lead.
What an unbelievable drive by Miami. Credit Chad O'Shea and Ryan Fitzpatrick. More importantly, Devontae Parker. Phenomenal playmaker down the side to get it going on a big 29-yarder. Gesicki, the pass-receiving tight end, with the big touchdown catch to take the lead late.
Oh, this defense. These frauds. Let me tell you what.
Where's your boogeyman t-shirt?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you go sell some more t-shirts? Ooh, the boogeyman. Sell some more t-shirts. And you know what? Why don't you actually make a stop when your season's on the line against Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick? Why don't you go out there and make a stop if you're actually an elite defense? Please. Okay, can you do that for me? Oh, wait, no, you can't. Because it turns out that you were just a group that feasted on a lot of really, really bad quarterbacks. The Luke Falks of the world. You feasted on those teams, and then when the second half of the year came around,
Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of those quarterbacks that feasted on the first time.
That is true. But you got the Fitz magic yesterday.
Yeah.
You got the Fitz magic, and they couldn't handle it. You can't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick with everything on the line.
It was bad.
It's awful.
Bad all-around performance.
To think, guys, and it's Matt McCarthy, Greg Bedard, Paul Perillo, 617-779-0985. People compared this defense to not only the 03-04 defenses, which is hilarious at this point. People in the start of this year were saying they were as good as the 1985 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. Give me a break with that. People thought this team was going 19-0. They went 4-4 in the last part of the year. What a collapse. What a collapse. And the majority of that, and we can focus on the offense. We focused on the offense for much of this year. But I think if you're sitting here today as a Patriots fan, you should direct your anger at that defense. The unit that's supposed to win you ball games, they couldn't win you ball games. Craig, that was your major takeaway last night, right?
Yes, I thought it was 100% on the defense. I thought the offense did plenty. Was it perfect? No, but it's the Dolphins. It should be enough. Like, that's why you have everybody on defense. That's why you're eight deep at linebacker, is so you can basically pitch a shutout against a team like that. You know, and don't just put it on the players either. You know, let's also involve the coaches.
Soft zone.
It wasn't even that much zone. There was a little bit of zone. Mostly it was the Dolphins spread you out man-to-man and then ran crossers all day. And the Patriots never adjusted. They never put a guy in the middle of the field to make him pay, to knock a few heads off. I mean, when the crucial third down on the game-winning drive, Albert Wilson comes in short motion. Jonathan Jones, I think it was Jones on coverage there. There's not really a whole lot you can do. I mean, you have to. The guy has a two-way go. You have to protect. You can't just cut off the inside. You think you have help. How about Chase Winovich not rush the passer initially? Get coached up to say, you know what? Bang that guy coming across. Give Jones help. Those guys need help coming across. You can't just cover a guy all the way across the field. That happened time and time again. The coaches didn't adjust. There was also the predictable, we get this once a game now, where the Patriots are over-aggressive with their zero blitz calls, and this was the play. It was 2nd and 10 around midfield, and the Patriots, if they just play a little bit more conservative, maybe they get a punt, maybe it's a field goal. Instead, Gilmore's got to play off, and Devontae Parker has the easiest 23-yard reception he's had of his career. I mean, there were no adjustments made at all, and they were taken to school by Chad O'Shea and the Dolphins coaching staff, and plus, Flores knew the formula.
Yeah, and you know what I've noticed in Greg? You know, I like to tease Greg.
Yeah,
I call him Amos Alonzo Bedard because of his exactly. His propensity for watching the All-22 and breaking it down. But what I've noticed, Greg, and you, in all seriousness, would be able to speak to this a little bit more than I would, is if teams sort of go at the Patriots and they just are content to take what they give them. Mm-hmm. They throw it to the backs out of the backfield occasionally. They use the tight ends a little bit. Don't go away from taking any shots downfield, but don't get infatuated with deep balls down the sidelines. J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, they play those exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
Slants, as Greg just said, a lot of shallow crosses yesterday. If you take what they give you and you avoid penalties, you can move the ball on the Patriots, and in turn, you're going to chew up the clock and play a little keep away. Patriots had a little of their own medicine taken to them yesterday, given to them yesterday, because Miami had the ball for, 34 or so minutes in this game. That's a big difference.
Yeah, I will say I was texting with a Dolphins source last night after watching the Patriots defensive TV copy and just trying to get, you know, how'd you guys do? What'd you guys do? How come the Patriots didn't? Was it something you were doing schematically? And they're like, no. We knew Devontae Parker could beat Stephon Gilmore. You know, we knew Isaiah Ford, who I didn't even know who that was, could beat J.C. Jackson. And, you know, they just were supremely confident. And they also said, like, look, if you just look at all the turnovers they've gotten this year, that's how they make their living.
Protect the ball. Protect the ball. Avoid mistakes and avoid penalties. Stay out of long yardage. Mm-hmm. And you can have some – if you think about some of the big plays off the top of your head, you don't even have to go back and look, oh, this one. So 2 weeks ago it was a 50-some-odd yard pass to John. But where was that? Was
it middle of the field.
Between the hashes. Don't challenge these guys on deep fades mm-hmm. where you have the sideline as an extra defender, and those guys play those really, really well. A couple weeks back, Mecole Hardman. Where did that big play come from?
Middle of the field.
You know, take your shots. You can't go into a game and say, we're not going to throw the ball downfield. That's not going to work either. You got to take some shots here and there, and they did take a few, you know, kind of back shoulder down the field throws with Parker. You have a good player. The other team has a good player too in Stephon Gilmore. But you have to have your good player win once in a while. And, you know, yesterday I think it was 8 out of 11 targets for Parker. So he won more often than not.
I mean, Flores must have went into this game. And of course, there were many other former Patriots coaches on that staff. Where Flores is basically like, he knows all the warts. It's similar to Patricia when he went to Detroit.
Absolutely.
And he knew where all the bodies were buried on that defense, what they were trying to cover up. And what happened? The Patriots beat him too. I mean, the Lions beat him like a rented mule last season. Same thing with Flores here. And you know that Flores went in and said, from this point on the field, run these routes against Stephon Gilmore. He's going to have issues. I mean, they went in. They said we weren't afraid to test Gilmore, and Parker won almost all of those battles.
I mean,
that's just. And the other thing that I didn't get from watching the film was why so much too deep safety. You know, a lot of McCourty or Harmon at times, Jones. Like, why two man? Why two deep safeties? I guess the Dolphins must have known that was going to be the play, because what did they do? They saw two deep safeties, so they just ran low crossers where there was nobody in the middle of the field. I mean, they played them the whole game.
Stephon Gilmore lose Defensive Player of the Year yesterday? Is his candidacy done after that?
I don't know if it was his to lose. I mean, I think he's had a terrific season, and I would love to see him get recognized for it, but the fact is that it's pretty tough to win that award at that position. There's sure. a reason why. Was it go back to 2009 with Charles Woodson?
It's probably been a while.
Last defensive back,
mostly pass rushers.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't think that he lost it. I mean, I would have voted. I don't have a vote. I would have voted for him. But now after this game, then it just makes me go back and look at everybody else. Did anybody else bomb in one of the games? I mean, I'm sure that's the case.
Right.
I'm sure Chandler Jones wasn't great in every single game this year. And, you know, we've talked about it before. Stephon Gilmore has a tendency in these 1 o'clock games, you know, against lighter foes.
I did not know that this was a 1 o'clock game thing. So we have nothing to worry about next week.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
It's prime time.
It's prime. Oh, trust me. Gilmore is going to be shut down next week against A.J. Brown or whoever, because it's in prime time.
Because, you know, we don't have to get into that yet, but the last time he saw Corey Davis, it didn't go well for him.
That's true.
1 o'clock game, though. Got to keep that in mind.
Yes,
1 o'clock game.
Well, Greg, this is why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's right. I'm gonna dig into the Stephon
Gilmore.
Did not
know there was a 1 o'clock thing there.
1 o'clock game statistics. I'm sure that's somewhere available on Boston Sports Journal 617-779-0985. Or if not, there's a column idea for you, Greg.
There
See,
you go.
I'm mm-hmm. just here to help. All right, you've heard from us. Let's hear from you. Paul's in Connecticut to lead us off today. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just want to start off. Yeah, you guys are. You know, you pretty much nailed it. The defense. I mean, they said, I mean, I was watching the post-game show yesterday, and they said this is the least amount of points ever allowed by a Patriots defense in the dynasty. I mean, what a crock. I mean, you know, you go back, like you said, 2003 or whatever, and you get them guys that were diehard. And, you know, it seemed like it mattered a lot more back then. I mean, you got the beard running down the field at the end of the game just throw you out of the two seed. I mean, it's ridiculous. And Brady, he couldn't hit a goddamn side of a barn yesterday.
All right, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, this team is drawing comparisons to the 2003-04 Patriots defense, which looks laughable at this point. Completely laughable. It's all about the defense.
I can tell you, when the Patriots opened a game in 2004 and went down and kicked a field goal, I used to look at my boss, Fred, and say, that's game.
Yep.
Because I knew as long as they had the lead, there was no way that defense was ever going to give it up. And I don't think like that with this defense.
No.
Well, I mean, look, I'll just say, I think when we look back on this, that perhaps, you know, and I think Belichick's been very heavy on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's been why there have been some of the issues on offense. But, you know, there's a lot of green coaches in position. And over the course of the season, I think there's a lot of film out there that people have been able to pick apart on this Patriots defense where they weren't prepared early on in the season. And, you know, look, the Patriots only beat one team with a winning record this year, the Bills, twice. So.
Yeah, and the Eagles. You gotta give the Eagles 9-7.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I forgot the Eagles.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I was waiting for them to lose and make
Why?
It just the Bills yesterday. I mean, wouldn't it have been just like the final, ugh. But it was a very frustrating day.
But I assume we're going to talk about the decisions before halftime. But
yeah.
I equated it to, I thought it was similar to 4th-and-2. Just, you know, a different sort
strong. Strong. Yeah, that's a strong look.
A different sort of side of the ball. You know, but back then it was, you know, hey, I don't trust the defense to get a stop.
Right.
Now it's, I don't trust my offense. I'm just going to win on defense.
I wonder how much of it he was thinking of the week before with Buffalo.
Might have been in the back of his mind.
Maybe. You know, they go for, how about you don't call a jackass defense right. and get burned over the top? How about that? How about we try that for one of these games that's been meaningful down the stretch where we don't just blitz everybody and allow people to make plays over the top? How about that?
Yeah, save your thoughts on that because we're
going to step up my anger game. Everybody's far more angry than I am.
Come on, Paul. That was the season right there.
We've got to step it up.
That's the difference between having a chance to go to the Super Bowl, having a puncher's chance, a fighter's chance, and now going to Kansas City and probably losing that
game. This was actually the Eagles' mortar kick game. That's in a similar sort of game. It cost them, I think, home field that game.
There was a comedy of errors down the stretch that season that we don't have to get into as we're up against it. But they had four losses in the last 6 weeks of that season that were all like just completely avoidable.
Well, the yesterday was avoidable too. It does have a bit of a 2015 feel to it with the way that the second half of this season went. It's the Patriots' strength, right? You get stronger after Thanksgiving. That's when they kick it into high gear. They couldn't this year. 617-779-0985. Full phone lines right now, so when somebody drops off, you pick up the phone to join us. Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo, in for Felger and Maz today. We got the big boy, Greg Bedard, here. Here's Mike O'Brien with the Sports of Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Nice call!
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Maz.
Going to be a lot of sucks and blows in this segment, huh? Three up, three down. Good luck to you guys trying to figure out three ups from this game. It's Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo in for Felger and Maz today. The big boys alongside Greg Bedard. All right, I guess we should very quickly go through the ups, right? Greg, hit me with your first up. Why not?
Landon Roberts. I thought he was sensational in this game, not only catching that pass, which was not an easy catch.
Nope.
Even Brady wasn't on the mark with that pass.
Nope.
He was wide buck open. But he made a great catch. He also had a crushing block on the rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
He did a really he's been getting better every week, and this game was the culmination.
Yeah, I had Roberts on my list too, but I'll go with Rex Burkhead, who I think should be the lead back on this team. I think he gives you more explosiveness. I think Sony Michel has run a little bit better the last few weeks, and I think that he has been a little bit quicker to the hole, a little bit tougher to bring down. I think he's squirting forward a little bit more often, but I just don't see the same explosiveness that I see when Burkhead gets carries. Now, my guess is they just don't want to rely on him because of how frequently he's out of the lineup. But I think it was 6 carries for 48 yards yesterday. I mean, I think you got to find a way to get him more carries when he's producing at 8 yards a clip.
Yeah, he runs hard, and he gives you something in the passing game, too.
Absolutely.
Which Michelle does not. I mean, when Michelle's in the game, it's play action or they're giving it to him. He's not a factor in the passing game whatsoever. All right, so we've got – do you have Burkhead, too?
I have Burkhead number two.
All right, so there we go.
I agree with everything that Paul said, and has to be because Rex Idowling over there just, you know, gets hurt all the time. They can't put him on the field that much. And, it's, you know, it's a shame. They pay him $4 million a year. It'd be nice if he could be a, you know, every game playmaker. But he's certainly one of the playmakers, premier playmakers on this team right now.
All right, final ups. Let's make it quick so we can get to the good stuff or the bad stuff in this case.
Did you have a number two?
Well, I had Roberts and Burkhead just like you did.
I had Jamie Collins. I thought Collins was good in this game. Nothing negative really stood out for him. Defensively, I would like to see him make a few more plays, and I think overall he's been fading this second half of the season, like he tends to do. But I thought he was good in this game.
I'm going to play Greg's side of the street here and go with Shaq Mason.
Oh, how about that?
Choice,
basically, if for no other reason, for one play. I think, you know, basically your season's on life support. You need this win. And it's third and goal from the 13. Not an easy conversion there. And without that block that he makes on, I think it was Walt Akins. Without that block, I don't think James White makes it into the end zone on that screen. Just a tremendous play. Listening to Dante talk about him, what was it, Monday? When was the – I forget. It might have been last week. Yeah, on Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday.
He's clearly a little bit healthier now, and it shows he is an exceptional athlete for that position. Again, I don't want to play Greg's side of the street and use up too much more talk about offensive linemen, but Shaq Mason's block on that screen was enormous.
And Tooney's. It was great.
I had to get Joe Tooney in
yep,
there. That's your guy.
To.
Is there anything else you'd like to add on the big boy Shaq Mason, Greg, or should we move on?
No, it's good.
All right, so if you had the over-under in Greg's big boys on the up list at 1.5, that hit the under today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cash that one in.
I'm fairly right. surprised. I thought I was going to need to find another one.
Yeah, Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason didn't make it. It's a tough day
Tooney
for the big
has
boys.
A perennial spot on the list.
It's an honorary
yeah,
spot.
Honorary.
Tooney has been pretty
she
good.
Called
he has been
the Joe Tooney three-up award.
the three-down award, the Mohamed Sanu three-down award.
Stephon Gilmore. He just got roasted the whole game with the season on the line and just can't happen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Obviously, he was on my list as well. I'm going to go right at the top. I think this was one of Tom Brady's worst games. I think he was inaccurate for the most part all day. I think even some of his completions, Greg pointed out the one to Roberts, was a terrific catch by Roberts, and you certainly don't necessarily want to make a linebacker make those kinds of adjustments on the ball in the air. I thought there were times in the first half especially, but really throughout the game that he had a fair amount of time to throw the ball. He'd look around, look for number two, number three. The decision on one of those was to go to a double cover Julian Edelman, which had a play that had no chance of succeeding. I just don't think he looked very comfortable. He insists that it's not related to the elbow, but if no other reason, if he's not going to give us any physical reasons for the play, it just wasn't good enough. Brady was not good in this game.
Yeah, for the first time this year, earlier on, you could at least make a legitimate argument. Well, he doesn't have enough protection. The offensive line's been really bad. He doesn't have a lot to throw to, and that still may be true. I thought yesterday was one of the worst games I've seen from Tom Brady ever, and I felt like the pass protection wasn't a problem at all. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Greg. I thought that was one of the better games the offensive line played all year.
Yeah, I haven't totaled it up, but I just looking right now, I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5 pressures in the game.
Yeah, and I think that's 2 weeks in a row. The protection was pretty good for Brady after really it was a problem all year.
I'll get to Brady at some point, but my number two was Patrick Chung, and this is becoming a big issue for this defense. We've seen in the past, they ask a lot of him, and he's not exactly the most durable guy anymore. And he's wearing down. And this has become a big issue for this defense because they're putting him in key spots. They're basically making him a linebacker against the run, and they're asking him to defend a lot of good players. And he's running out of gas. And they're going to have to, if they're going to be better on defense against the Titans, they're going to have to figure something out. Hopefully Terrence Brooks is a little healthier. Maybe he can take a couple shifts from Chung or something.
Yeah.
That was a big injury. All of a sudden he cropped up with the groin
depth
on Friday.
Depth in the secondary is quietly becoming a problem. Jason McCourty,
yep.
Jonathan Jones made it back but didn't look, I didn't think, as fast as he normally is. You mentioned Terrence Brooks. They have some issues back there.
You have a number two down there,
yeah,
Paul?
J.C. Jackson, yeah. I think, struggled too. I think the whole secondary just was out of sorts yesterday, but those are your main guys, Gilmore and Jackson. I think that Wilson was open. I think Isaiah Ford was open, and I think Devontae Parker was open. So it just wasn't a good day for the defense.
A lot of options left on the board here, guys.
I actually, since Felger's not here, this is now legal. I actually split this three ways because there were just guys I had to get in.
Oh, well, you think I'm going to stand for this?
Jonathan Jones.
Don't straddle the fence here, Greg. Give me a take. Give me something here.
I got plenty of takes to come.
It says he used to work for, Nationals, SI. That's a Peter King special.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I can't pick an MVP. I'll split it.
I got Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, and Tom Brady. All split in spots and deserve to be on the down list. There were too many in this game, so I had to split it up.
Paul?
How about Bill Belichick?
Yep.
100%.
And I think that the decision at the end of the half, to me, just it continues to baffle me. I don't understand, with over a minute 40 left, what the downside of taking a timeout there would be.
Yeah, they want to dig into that.
They had to punt. You know, it was fourth and long. It wasn't like you're saying, well, you know, they're in a spot on the field where they might go for it, or this could be a time where they could, you know, change momentum with a fake or anything. It didn't. It was fourth and long from, it just didn't make any sense to me. And then Bill's explanation of, well, we would have called the timeout had we gotten a first down, made no sense. They had no intentions. They ran a draw that, you know, picked up, I think, 8 yards. So if you wanted to go, I mean, that's the time to call a timeout. Okay, it's second and two. You have to be pretty secure that you're going to get a first down, you know, with second and two on two plays. The fear of giving the ball back to Miami at that point didn't make any sense to me at all. I think they may have been thinking back to the week before against Buffalo where it went wrong at the end of that half. You know, and they go for the fourth down, and then they play really shoddy defense and allow a touchdown to make it 10-10. Maybe he was thinking of that. I don't know. Greg's point about, you know, the lack of faith in the offense being reminiscent of the fourth and two from 2009. Maybe that's what it was. But Bill did not offer any insight, and I didn't understand the decision.
Let's dive into that decision and Bill Belichick's comments coming up after this. 617-779-0985. And I've neglected the people and their wonderful phone calls because I think people are pretty upset today. And rightfully so, after that performance. It's Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo, and the big boy, Greg Bedard, is in, recapping that crap storm yesterday in Foxborough. We'll continue with your thoughts next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz. Matt McCarthy and Paul Perillo in for the guys, the big boys alongside Greg Bedard. 617-779-0985. Getting your thoughts to that disaster yesterday in Foxborough. Tom and Newton, what's going on, Tom?
Yeah, hey, guys. I mean, there's obviously a million things you could complain about after that debacle yesterday. The thing I wanted to weigh in on is the fact that the Patriots now, since 2013 in the month of December, are 1-5 against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, it matters whether it's home, road, good, bad. It seems like the team sort of has the same attitudes that the fans have, which is, you know, oh, well, it's Miami, you know, we're going to roll over them. And they let them hang around in the game, and they lose. And the only thing that I think that's worse than that with this team this year is it seems like there's no second gear. Like, any time a team does what you need to do to beat them, you know, don't give up the block punts, don't give up turnovers, you know, spread out the defense, you know, use your crossers and slants, mobile quarterbacks, RPOs, anything that tests the lateral speed of the defense, they keep failing that test. And, you know, maybe shame on me, but year after year, I keep waiting for them to, you know, finish the year strong against Miami, you know, have an answer for those types of game plans, you know, the crossers, the slants, the mobile quarterbacks and all that. And it feels like they keep failing those tests, and it's just the most frustrating thing. What do you guys think about that?
Thanks. Yeah, Tom, it's interesting. You know, I think we've always given the Patriots credit for, you know, really kicking it into high gear around Thanksgiving. Look at 2015, where they lost four out of their last six. Look at last year. They didn't exactly finish the year all that strong outside of those final two games, which, of course...
No, but they were 2-2 in December.
Right, exactly. And they lost to Miami. They lost to Pittsburgh, which is why everybody was panicking and saying the season was over, myself included, because, well, it's the Patriots. They always play well after Thanksgiving. And this year, 4-4. In their last eight games, people were talking about this team going undefeated, guys. They thought they were going 19-0.
I did after week one.
Yeah.
After what they did to the Steelers, the way they looked on offense.
It's an abject collapse.
It was impressive.
Yeah. It's an abject
collapse.
I thought
all my fears about the offense were unfounded after watching the opener, and then we never really saw that offense again. Maybe a little bit against Buffalo, but that, yeah. I mean, I thought that the way that they marched up and down, because I think the Steelers have a pretty good defense.
Sure.
They were missing some pieces
yes.
that night.
And they didn't have Fitzpatrick yet.
Yeah. But I do think that was a pretty impressive showing. And I can understand why there was the enthusiasm. And then the way they started beating up on the weak teams, there was no more bend but don't break against those bad quarterbacks. They made bad quarterbacks look bad. And you started, you know, thinking, this team could be different. But They've had their struggles in the second half.
Now, I will say, Tom brings up a valid point, but I will say, and not to be Mr. Patriots homer honk, since everyone accuses me of that, but, I mean, come on. The team's been to the three straight Super Bowls. I mean, how bad has it been down the stretch? 4 out of 5, you know,
he's just focusing on Miami. I mean, why is it?
That is sort of
a sobering stat. I didn't think of that. One in five in December against Miami since 13. But
they've had the cushion.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yesterday's a different animal.
Right.
Yesterday was a game that was an absolute crusher with a lot on the line.
Worse than 2015? That is the Steven Jackson game.
Yeah,
in Miami.
I think going from 2 to 3 is much more damaging than going from 1 to 2. I didn't like what they did in 2000. I'm not going to pretend that how they finished 15 sat well with me, because I do believe that if they were able to win one of those 4 games and they hosted the AFC Championship game instead of having to go to Denver, I think they would have won it.
They beat Denver at home. They beat Carolina in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far, but I think they would have beaten Denver at home.
Yep. All right, Dana in New Hampshire. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, guys, what I want to say is everybody has a bad game. I don't mind when you get beat all game long, or even if you're running out of gas. But Stephon Gilmore just looked disinterested. He didn't show up from the first play. He looked like, oh, man, you should be resting me on the sideline.
I thought the whole team was disinterested.
Did you think that, Greg? I know that's the 1 o'clock game.
No, I mean,
I thought I saw him talking a lot of smack to the Dolphins sideline.
I've certainly had my fair share of criticism of Gilmore, especially in some of these 1 o'clock games over the course of his Patriots career. But I did not have that thought on Sunday watching that game live.
I
just thought that Parker just beat them. The Dolphins coaches had some inside information, put Parker in a really good position to be successful. And then something that you mentioned it, but not a lot of people are giving them credit for, Ryan Fitzpatrick made a lot of ballsy throws with pressure in his face. If a couple of those plays go the other way, it's a different game, but give Fitzpatrick credit. He did not. We were all waiting for him to throw a ball to the Patriots like he always does. He didn't do it, and he made a lot of great throws in that game.
All right, you think we're being dark today? Pete in Plainville. He's going to go real dark on us. What's up, Pete?
Uh-oh. Hey, guys. When the call taker took the call, I was rather upset. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like yesterday could really be the death knell of this dynasty. And the reason I say that is just, Paul and Greg, have the Patriots ever lost to a team with the talent that Miami had yesterday? I think that's, like, the most stunning thing. With everything on the line, they just weren't able to make a play or two down the stretch. And that's what's shocking to me. I can't believe that they weren't able to make a play. And real quick, the last drive on offense and defense, I just thought that they just basically did the same thing on defense. Every play they had five or six guys at the line of scrimmage. They didn't change the whole drive, the whole way down.
Yep.
And then lastly, they were up against it. It was only 25 seconds left, but they had 3 timeouts. And I just feel like they didn't give themselves the best chance to move down the field. The first play, Brady forces it to Edelman, and basically triple coverage. Like, just get to the 50 and see what happens. I mean, I thought the coaching staff was bad. I don't know if Steve Belichick is calling the plays, but I'm with you, Greg. I think it just seems like they're out of sorts defensively, and I don't, there's no way they're going on the road to beat the Chiefs and Baltimore. Sorry, it's just not.
Yeah. I don't see that happening.
A couple of things. I just wanted to go through that drive real quick, the Dolphins drive, because all of a sudden they turned into the grenade defense. We've seen the grenade offense. It was a grenade defense where something was going on. So 3:47 left. Jones is a step late on a crosser. There's no one in the middle of the field, to the point where Wilson can bobble the ball 5 or 6 times and no one's even near
him. I remember the play you're talking about, because I think with Wilson's speed,
yeah,
he had enough separation. That was going to be a big play if he didn't bobble it.
Yeah, but he bobbled it, and like he could have juggled. It was like he was juggling out there for 5 minutes. No one was around him. Parker beats Gilmore on 24 yards, the leaping catch where, you know, he just beat him. 3rd and 5, again, we talked about it. Wilson comes on the short crosser. No one's in the middle of the field to help Jones at all. Gilmore is playing off with 40 seconds left. Easy 8-yard out. Just cake. And then 35 seconds left. Another low crosser gets them to 1st and goal at the 5. And then, you know, apparently Albert Wilson needed to be doubled in the left flat for some reason, and Gesicki was left open. But if one play I did want to bring up at some point, just to mention it, Juwan Bentley getting absolutely roasted by Ryan Fitzpatrick on the goal line. God, I mean, he awful. Had him one-on-one, so dead to rights, and Bentley didn't lay a finger on him. Fitzpatrick, it was like the Brady Urlacher play again. That was bad.
I have to go back and look at that one.
Please do.
Somebody text Ted Johnson. I want his breakdown of that play, because Juwan Bentley was his guy coming into the year. I think he's off that hill at this point. That was brutal. All right, 90 seconds. No commercials here. Mike O'Brien's going to get us caught up. Jeez, good God, McCarthy.
Caught it.
Mike O'Brien will get us caught up on all the coaching moves around the NFL today. When we come back, we're going to get into the abomination that was the end of the half yesterday for the Patriots. McCarthy and Perillo in for Felger and Mazda.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.